we are constantly being reminded, I certainly am, of the fact that we live in a broken world, a world living out the consequences of a humanity that has turned its back on their creator God. Our present reality isn't that different, to be true, to the times of Noah, when we read in Genesis that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And while there are countless expressions of this brokenness across the world, two in recent times have caught our attention: a global pandemic and social justice. Interestingly, throughout history, the followers of Jesus have never stood by silently as mere spectators. Take, for example, the Christians in Alexandria in the 3rd century. At that time, the Roman Empire was devastated by plagues. Some people have suggested that as many as 15% of the population died during these plagues. Dionysius, the Bishop of Alexandria, observed, at the first onset of the disease, the people of Alexandria pushed the sufferers away and fled from their dearest, throwing them into the roads before they were dead and treating unburied corpses as dirt, hoping thereby to avert the spread and contagion of the fatal disease. But do what they might, they found it difficult to escape. In contrast, he noted the response of the Christians. Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. Many, in nursing and curing others, transferred their death to themselves and died in their stead. And what about the Christians in 18th century England? One author describing the social conditions of the time spoke of the wanton torture of animals for sport, drunkenness, inhuman traffic of African slaves, kidnapping of fellow countrymen for exportation and sale as slaves, the mortality of children, gambling obsessions, the savagery of the prison system, political bribery and corruption. During this time, children were exploited in factories and mines. It was estimated that over 30,000 children were living on the streets of London, and over 1 million children across the country had no access to education. But again, it's interesting to note how the followers of Jesus responded. People like Wesley, Wilberforce, Shaftesbury, evangelical Christians, worked tirelessly and brought about the abolition of slavery, the reformation of the prison system, popular education, changes to working conditions. The truth is, the social landscape of England was changed forever. Yes, the followers of Jesus have always responded. They have never walked away, and neither can we. And so what I want to do over the next couple of weeks is exploring what the Bible has to say about this. And in particular, I want to talk about social justice. So if you have your Bibles, let's begin this journey by And let me read from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The Hebrew word for justice, mishpat, occurs more than 200 times in the Old Testament. And at its core, mishpat means to treat people equitably, to treat them the same. And so justice in a legal context is to treat all people the same before the law, acquitting or punishing every person on the merits of the case. In this sense, we say justice is blind. Lady Justice doesn't look at the person, it simply looks at the evidence. Anyone who does the same wrong should be given the same penalty. It doesn't matter who they are. And so, for example, we read in Leviticus 19, do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Or Deuteronomy 16, do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the innocent. But more commonly in the Old Testament, mishpat refers to how all people should be treated equally as human beings created in the image of God. In this sense, we would speak of social justice, ensuring that the vulnerable are treated the same as everyone else. And so we read, for example, in Deuteronomy 27, 19, cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Or Amos 5:24, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And so the biblical idea of justice is to treat all people the same, to give them what they are due, whether punishment or protection, or care. And while the Hebrew word mishpat doesn't appear in Psalm 146, the concept of ensuring that the vulnerable are treated the same as everyone else shines out. You remember a few weeks ago we talked and shared together about lament songs. Well, Psalm 146 is a really important place to begin this conversation. You see, it is another kind of song. It's what is called a hallelujah song. In the NIV, all these songs start with praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. This is a song celebrating God, celebrating who he is and what he has done. Yes, as you read the psalm, we see he is the creator God who is above and beyond all things. He reigns forever. This is Yahweh, the God of Jacob, the eternal I am, who has made himself known and entered into a relationship with his creation. No, he is not like the kings of the earth who come and go. He remains faithful forever. He is someone you can run to for help. He is someone in whom you can always hope. But notice with me verses 7 to 9. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. Yes, God is someone who is actively involved. He upholds, gives, sets, gives, lifts up, loves, watches over, sustains, frustrates. What is really interesting here are those with whom he gets involved. As you look at the list, you quickly get the impression this is predominantly a list of the vulnerable. Notice verse 9 in particular. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. These three groups of people pop up all the time in the Old Testament, and I'd encourage you to do a search of it and just see for yourself how often the foreigner, fatherless and widow appear together in the Old Testament. We came across them already this morning in Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. In the ancient Jewish context, a person's security, food supply, and the future welfare of their family were connected to land ownership. The foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow could not own land in Israel. They were denied access to the same opportunities to fulfill their basic human rights as others. They were disadvantaged, and as a consequence, they were vulnerable. Do you hear God's heart of justice for the vulnerable in this Praise the Lord song? Wow. God is not only concerned for those whom we might consider deserving, whom our culture might consider worthy. Praise the Lord because he is interested, he is concerned, he acts for the vulnerable. He, as we are told in Psalm 33, watches over all who live on the earth. How did Jesus put it in Matthew 6? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? As human beings created in the image of God, all of us, regardless of who we are valuable, much more, yes, valuable in the eyes of God. And also, notice what we read in Isaiah 30. the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. I love the imagery that we find throughout the Old Testament. Amos spoke of a river of justice being like a river that flows into the land. And here Isaiah speaks of God as someone who is rising up to show compassion on those who are vulnerable. Yes, that's who God is. He is just. And that is why over the centuries the people of God have responded to injustice as they have. Now, I don't know how you respond to this, but when I start thinking about this idea of God's heart for social justice, I quickly become overwhelmed by the enormity of the need. COVID-19 restrictions and isolation has had an interesting impact on me. I think I weigh heavier than I used to, for one thing. But because we've all been pushed inside our caves, as it were, and socially isolated, I, as someone who hovers on the border of introvert-extrovert, have happily adjusted and climbed into my cave and got on with it. Before when we got off the land, we had to shut down our English conversation club. And one of the reasons why I participated as a team member in the English Conversation Club was because it gave me the opportunity to mix with people, engage with people in the name of Jesus, to offer a hand to those who needed support in the name of Jesus, as a declaration of the kindness of God, as an aspect of doing the works of the gospel that would lead into opportunities to declare the words of the gospel. But when we got off the land, we had to stop the conversation club. And then with the coming of COVID-19 restrictions, I found myself crawling into a cave a little bit of socially isolating. And then in the midst of all this, of course, there's been all sorts of upheaval around the world and protests concerning racism. And I'm not advocating necessarily all the organisations involved or the strength or weakness of this as a means of bringing about change. But the reality is our attention has been brought to a social injustice. And I find myself, kind of hiding in the cave. But the truth of the matter is I need to get out of the cave. And can I suggest to you, all of us need to get out of the cave. And part of this, the situation is that, yes, this is overwhelming. Look around us. The reality of our world just can bury us. And it's too hard. It's just too hard. So what can we do about it? So what I want to give you is two steps to get out of the cave. Number one, take time to encounter the God of justice. Allow God to show you himself. Our greatest need is to know God, because in knowing God, we are motivated to be the people of God, to follow him. Take time to encounter the God of justice. Start with Psalm 146. Don't be in a hurry just to read. Yep, I've read it. Tick it. No, no. Allow the words to penetrate your soul. Think on the words. Meditate on the words. Chew them over. Take cross references and go on a journey in the Bible, asking God, show me yourself. Read Mark's gospel. It's not long. Just read through Mark's gospel and look again at how Jesus was full of mercy, how he acted justly, regardless of who came to him. Look at it. Lord, show me your heart. Impact me with your heart. Fill me with you, yourself. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, take time to encounter the God of justice. And then also, secondly, take time to consider the vulnerable. This is hard. But as part of my journey of coming out of the cave, I've been allowing myself just to sit quietly and take it in, take what's going on around about us. You remember Jesus in John 4 when he had the encounter with the woman by the well, and this woman was a vulnerable person. She was on the edges. She was a social outcast. And then when the disciples came back, they were all upset because he's talking to a woman, a woman of questionable morals, a Samaritan woman. And this was a terrible thing, Jesus. You shouldn't be engaging with this person. And you remember what Jesus did, how he told the disciples, open your eyes and look. Fields are wide and harvest. And that's what we need to do. We need to take the time to open our eyes and look. That can be painful. That can be overwhelming. That's okay. This is just a first step in the journey, getting out of the cave. Ask God to show you the vulnerable. Not the vulnerable as a concept, but vulnerable people. People you might know by name, people you might work with, people in your neighborhood. Yes, God, the God of the Bible, is the God of social justice. He is the God who loves us. He is the God who is with us, who sees everyone on all the earth. Let's pray again. Father, I thank you that in your love, in your grace, you have made it possible for us, for every one of us in exactly the same way to know you. Thank you for the cross. And we worship you today. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that in your desire is that we, your creation, might be restored and might know your goodness and your blessing. And I thank you, God, that your heart is for all peoples, regardless of who they are. They are precious in your sight. And Lord, I just simply ask for a work of your Spirit in our lives in these days, that you would refresh in us yet again who you are. Help us, press the reboot button, the refresh button, as it were, that we might see Jesus, the God of justice. And as we contemplate who you are, we ask you, Lord, yes, open our eyes, help us look. Give us the courage to look. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and grant you his peace.